Padapad Mum, the lotus feet, Dhruvam, the infallible eternal shelter, Pripede, surrendered, he indeed, Akutabhayam, completely free of fear, Janat, from ordinary common people, Bhita, being afraid, Sapakshakshapanasya, of your lordship, who kill the demons on our own side, Sattama, oh best of the best. Translation: my grandfather, the best of all men, who achieved unlimited knowledge and was worshipable for everyone, was afraid of the common men in this world. Being fully convinced of the substantiality afforded by the shelter of your lotus feet, he took shelter of your lotus feet against the will of his father and demoniac friends who were killed by your own self. No purport. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasiddha Bhumo Tattaravi Krishna Balarama Sabhada Mule Jnanam Param Paramaya Krishna Sadharma Chuktam Nandasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste. Samasara Dukkha Jaladau Paditasya Kama Krodhari Nakrama Karai Kavali Kritasya Durvashana Nigaritasya Nirasrayasya Chaitanya Chandrama Matehi Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopadesha Kisholo Sahachara Ganavrindai Krita Manavrdesho Natabara Jitabesho Nila Pitam Varadyo Jagadajanana Hei To Rama Krishna Nato Asmi Vanchakalpata Rubyat Chakripasindu Bevacha Ridanang Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As the English proverb goes, that when the going gets rough, the rough get going. So here, Bali Maharaj gets his strength from the example of his grandfather, who proved his devotion to Lord Vishnu by going against the advice of his demoniac father and demoniac associates. He went against Sanda and Amarka, who were requested by Aranyakasipu to instruct the child for Prahlad in diplomacy, Samadanda Beda, Samadana Beta Dunda, four things. And when Hiranyakasipu said, he's cavorting with the enemy, then Prahlad Maharaj said in 7th Canto that previously we heard talk about, discrimination, this person is my friend, this person is my enemy, and we're actually saying it practical. So he had so many obstacles. He had so many obstacles. Prahlad Maharaj has so many obstacles in his life to try to develop devotion to Lord Vishnu in an extraneous circumstance. Yet, due to his devotion for Lord Narahari, he remained steadfast under any circumstance. Therefore, his bhakti burned very bright. When there is calamity, I quoted it yesterday from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati, 8th section. This is the Atma Nivedan section, bhajan number 8, shloka number, I think it's 5 or 6. Tumara se bai dukkha hoye jato se to paramasukha. Se basukha dukkha paramasampad nashaya vidya dukkha. Miseries I accept in your service will be the greatest happiness for me. Whether I suffer or enjoy, both destroy the ignorance of illusion. So, in the fire of calamity, then Prahlad Maharaj's bhakti shone the brightest. And indeed, the whole idea of Dhruv Charitra, the 7th canto, is so bright because of the calamities that Prahlad Maharaj suffered. And because of that extraneous situation, the shloka shine forth so wonderfully, and his instructions shine forth so wonderfully, and they're so memorable because of that. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you should read those sections 108 times. The idea that something will stick. Dhruva Charita. Dhruva also went through so many calamities, so many obstacles in his quest to get a kingdom better than his father. And as soon, Haribhakta Shuddhadaya mentioned that as soon as he saw Prishnagarbha, then immediately he became pacified and said, I was searching for pieces of broken glass. I got you, the greatest gem. Now I don't have any further desire. But the Supreme Lord, who is Kamapala, the protector of transcendental desire, said, Sir Dhruva, what you've asked is very difficult to attain. You're allowed to ward it. After your departure, the Dhruva Loka, Ushanara, will be your abode and take your father's kingdom for 36,000 years and manage that also. So Dhruva got more than he requested by the grace of Narada Muni, by the grace of Prishnagarbha. He got more than he requested. That is the nature of the reciprocation of the Absolute Truth. That when the devotee undergoes difficulty, there is purification of the heart. Krishna, it is simply pariksha. What is this obstacle? The obstacles are given by Durga under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the time factor. This is actually in 17th chapter, verse 3. In the Shraddha Traya section of Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that Shraddha can be of three things, Sattvaki, Rajasi, and Tamasi. So in that commentary, Prabhupada mentions that anybody taking shelter of the process of Gauranga can become free. So we're the International Society of Krishna Consciousness with international people from international backgrounds with international agendas. And it doesn't matter what we came, what we, if you chant Hare Krishna, if you stay with the devotees, if you render service to the deities, to Tulsi Rani, to the devotees, then you'll go beyond. You'll get more than what you wanted. We may have come with such a big laundry list of things that we want the Supreme Lord to fulfill, but actually, according to 5th Canto, chapter 19, verse 27, it's a famous verse that Satam Deshat Yatrato Artato Nrinam Naivartato Yada Punar Artatama Yata Swayamavidate Bhagavan Anichatam Ichapidanam Nijapada Pallava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the desires of his devotees, but not in such a way that will cause the devotee to ask more and more. But instead of this, he readily gives the shade of his lotus feet, even though the devotee did not ask for it. Thus the Supreme Lord is very merciful. And that shade of that lotus feet pacifies the devotee and makes him completely free of the material desire. So by Prahlad Maharaj, by his bhajan, by his intense concentration, dependency on Nrisimhadeva. Therefore, as the Narasimha, Shanishchara Narasimha Stuti says, Bhakta Prahlada Vachasa Harir Avirasa, because of the words spoken of Prahlad Maharaj, he came. Nrisimhadeva came there. And the next verse says, Yovanija Bhakta Manalambuddha Buddharoga Sringa Prapata Vishadanta Sarisarebhya Sarvatmaka Paramakaruniko Raraksha Satvamanasimma Maitehi Kripavalokan. May that Lord Nrisimhadeva give me his compassionate glance of mercy. He said, when your own devotee gets tribulations, Sringa Prapata, being pierced by the horns of animals, cows, deer, buffaloes, rhinoceros, their horns are pretty heavy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in his Amulyavani that you should stay 100 cubits. Cubit is an arm's length. You know, like, I think it's from the crux of the elbow to the tip of the finger. You should stay 100 cubits from animals of the horned species. If you ever come close, I live in a goshala in Vrindavan, so, all the time those cows are swinging their horns. If they haven't smelled me too much lately, then they just swing their horns like, who are you? Get out of here. Like that. And, sometimes they come really close, So you understand, specifically, they've got big ones like the Pariyatra bull, those with the Gujarati bulls with the big rack, huge horns. You don't want to get hit with one of those guys, You try to be really friendly to those cows, but those bulls, but those horns are heavy, So you should stay, when they come really close and they almost got you, then you start to think that, you remember Bhakti Siddhanta Shiksha, stay 100 cubits from animals of the horned species. Sringa Prapata, being threatened to be pierced by horns of animals. Vishadanta, the teeth of poisonous snakes. Sarisarebhya, being offered by poison, so many things. Sarvarmaka Paramakarunika Raraksha. Because he's the friend of all living entities, Nrisingadev gives protection. Even his mother, Kayadru, was forced by Hiranyakasipu to administer poison, which would have killed 10,000 elephants. And yet, because Prahlad offered it to Nrisingadev, it was neutralized. Pretty astounding. He went through so many perplexities. And in spite of all the perplexities, he just remained fixed on the chanting of Nrisingadev. And so much so that even so, he didn't become the child. Prahlad did not become at all bitter about it. He was at the end, after Hiranyakasipu was killed by Nrisingadev, he requested the benediction from Nrisingadev to please deliver his father. Please forgive my father. Prahlad Maharaj was not at all bitter about his reverses in life caused by his parents or any obstacle in this world. He wished well for everyone. Therefore, that famous shloka, which is 5th canto, chapter 18, verse number 8, which is the beautiful verse for Narasimha Chaturdashi, Svastastu Vishvasu Kalaka Prasidato. Kalaka Prasidato. May the envious become pacified, Prahlad Maharaj prayed. So he was not at all against the envious personalities, but he wanted to tame, like Gauranga does, to destroy their demoniac mentality. That made the envious become pacified. But they did not wish ill to their enemy. Like that. We wanted the envious to become pacified. Now, of course, sometimes sages of yore, by giving curses, by inviting the calamities of Durga on the heads of the offenders, that was another kind of kripa in this sense, because after by getting kicked by Durga, they remembered their mistake belatedly, after getting some heavy reverses. But Prahlad Maharaj was so kind, he did not even ask for that. He didn't ask that Durga rain down calamity on the head of those that offended him. He was so kind, He even asked Nrisingadev, please deliver my father. How wonderful is that mentality? It just proves the saintliness of Prahlad Maharaj. For his own self, Haridas Thakur did the same thing when the Muslim Qazi took him into 22 marketplaces to beat him. And after 22 marketplaces, he still didn't die. His tormentor said, please die, because if you don't die, the Muslim magistrate is going to chastise us. Oh, you'll be in difficulty, Haridas Thakur said. You'll be in trouble. Oh, I don't want you to be in trouble. So then immediately he fainted, and mimicking death. So they threw him in the sea. And then he came back. And Gauranga said, just see, all those torments I've taken on myself. Gauranga said, all those torments of Haridas Thakur he took himself on his body. Pretty amazing, actually. Huh? So, all these things, it's impossible to read Prahlad Charitra without being affected by all the torments that Prahlad Maharaj went. And it simply steeled his reserve. It simply made him even more determined to set the right example. So much so that he took the risk of any time that Sandhya and Amarka were out of the room, he took the opportunity to preach to his demoniac children. It spawns that book that Satsuru Maharaj nicely wrote, the fiction book that he wrote, Am I a Demon or a Devotee? You know, thinking about from Prahlad Maharaj's friend's perspective, am I a demon or a devotee? In Kali Yuga, the demon and the devotee are in the same body, please note. So, we have a lot to learn from all that because of the demon and the devotee in the same body in Kali Yuga. We have a lot. So therefore, we should always keep our mind fixed on the devotional service of the Lord. And Bali Maharaj's determination came straight from his grandfather. Idam sanish chitya pita maho mahan. And so it sets a wonderful example that how powerful is the influence of the grandparents on a powerful devotee like Bali. Jayadvaita Maharaj, it was in Durban Rath Yatra once, he said, our society doesn't need more renunciates. We need more Gerushkas and Babushkas. That's what we need. Grandfathers and grandmothers, that's what we need, he said. Because they give valuable, tangible wealth of experience to the younger generation. And indeed, because the younger generation can be pulled up most compassionately and effectively by the grandparents. So this is why it's nice. And even, to tell you frankly, even if the parents, elderly parents, are non-devotees, a devotee should be very expert to get gold even from a filthy place. The idea of it is because Vaishnavas are trained to become saragrahi, to accept the essence of it. And anything that is anukul, it can be used for Krishna seva, even if it's from a dirty place, even if it's from someone who is a bodha jata. Other than that, they're a rascal, conditioned soul. Still, my parents, my grandparents, they may be able to give me some shiksha that I can apply in my life to Krishna. That's the idea. And every one of us in this room, in terms of your own relationship with your own parents or your own grandparents, must have some wonderful experiences about this. How you asked your parents or grandparents something, and you got something that you can hold and apply concretely in your life. So that's nice. That is proper. Because sattvaka bhava means we try to extract. This is called the activity of the hamsas. The hamsas, when you take a mixture of milk and water, they should be able to extract the essence, the milk, and leaving aside the water. So, in this material world, in Kali Yuga, there is an ocean of faults. But we should always try to see the good. Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis are trained to become adosha darshi, to try to not see the fault, to try to see some small good quality wherever. Even in terms of reconciliation, in terms of counseling, then they try to tell warring parties that please try to say something good about the other party. Think about something good about the other party. So it's quite nice. So, but still, this shloka, Idam Sanish Chitya Pita Maho Mahan, shows that Bali Maharaj's strength came from Prahlad Maharaj. So the greatness of Bali. But not only that, was interesting was Nrisingadev's benediction that he gave, that 14 generations above and below will become freed. Because Prahlad Maharaj's son, Virochana, is considered to be a very strong materialistic Shaivite. And he was not a devotee at all. But it's amazing. He still, because of his relation with Prahlad Maharaj, he still got benefit. He didn't lose. He still got benefit. No. And more or less you can say in spite of Virochana and his qualities. Still because of Prahlad Maharaj's wonderful qualities. And it's interesting that we have to, when you look at it, you have to consider that Bali Maharaj also took the advice of his grandfather more superlative than his father Virochana. Very interesting. In the same way, although Prahlad Maharaj bucked the trend of the demons and materialistic Sanda and Amarka and Aranyakasipu and everything, he took shelter of the infallible Supreme Lord's lotus feet. In the same way, Bali Maharaj did the same. So it's very nice. And he says, Agada Buddha, Agada is sinless, and Buddha is highly intelligent. Highly intelligent and sinless because of his devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj was sinless and highly intelligent because of his devotional service. Dhruva, infallible eternal shelter, and he indeed. So it is an underlining of the significance. Indeed, it's a fact. By using the word he, it means it is indeed a fact. Nobody should doubt it. It's not an exaggeration. By saying the word he, indeed, it means that it is not an exaggeration. This is actually what happened. That's what Bali Maharaj is saying. This is exactly what happened. Dhruvam prapede he akato bhayam janat. He could become fearless of any kinds of people. Now, fast forward. When Bali Maharaj was thus chastised by Vamandev, he pushed him down to Sutala. And he blessed him that in Sutala, you'll have no problems. The climate and everything will be favorable and you'll have no problems. And you'll be the king of all the demons there. And you'll see me every day, Vamandev said, to your heart's content. And if any of those demons try to transgress your orders as the king, I'll cut off his head, Vamandev said. So it's interesting, this word, this one, prapede hi akato bhayam janat, that when you're tormented by demons and opposition, you're naturally looking over your shoulder. What's going to happen next? You know? We all do in this conditioned nature. Now, Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, verse 27 says that bhaya, dvitiya, the duality of bhaya, abhinivesheta syat ishame petasya. The main thing is caused by forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. Viparyaya smriti, which causes an opposite mentality. What is that opposite mentality? Fear. What will happen next? Like that. So, and the next shloka, shloka 28, describes how to become fearless. That when you stop seeing this world and everything in it as separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you stop the mind's tendency to accept and reject on the basis of sense gratification, then you become fearless. It says, Abhayam tatasyat. At that time you become fearless. So akato bhaya janad, you might be fearful of the potencies of demons, etc. But all this does in seva is simply make you more attached to the Sringadeva or your Ishtadeva. That's the idea. Opposition is not, it is a karma, it happens, but it is not unwelcome by the Vaishnava and the Vaishnavi. Why? Because it forces us to remember Krishna. If it forces us to remember Krishna more and take shelter of Krishna more with dependency, then it is welcome. Kunti Devi, she says very famously, Vibhada Shantata Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Nobody asks for trouble. She's a Kshatriya, an administrator, and she's asked for more trouble. She says, because when we get into trouble, remember your lotus feet. When we remember your lotus feet, there's no birth and death. That's amazing. Nobody goes to the doctor or the pharmacy that give me one vial of flu and cold. And nobody asks for that, although it comes. Prahlad Maharaj says, just like miseries come without being asked for it, in the same way your happiness will also come. When the happiness is there, we say, yes, it is Krishna's mercy. And when the distresses come, we said, this is Krishna's test. He's trying to see my sincerity. That's all. It is simply a test. Therefore, it is not unwelcome. They take obstacles and turn it into opportunities. That is a devotee of substance. And if you do that, Gita says, Sama dukkha sukha dhira so amritvaya kalpate. When you actually can tolerate happiness and distress and equal in both, you actually become eligible for liberation. You actually prove that you deserve it. Now, today is Dwadashi. Dwadashi happens to be the day for Tulsi Rani. It also said that it happens to be Sriji's day, Radharani's day, and I have to find the pramanam later on. Why? What makes Dwadashi more important than others? Sankrantyado, you know, other tithis and junctions. They are five. They're Purnima, Amavasya, Chaturdashi, Pratipat, Panchami, along with Dwadashi. So when Sanatan Pad in his commentary says, generally for the Vaishnavas, Dwadashi, they don't collect Tulsi on Dwadashi. So the question, which I have not yet got an answer, is astrologically speaking, what makes Dwadashi more important than those other days? And Gaurakesha was described, there are Vaishnavas, Sri Vaishnavas especially, he knows, and some Madhvas, who do indeed don't collect Tulsi on those other 5 days as well. But it's interesting. It just makes you think that why would Dwadashi be even more powerful? Now, generally speaking, according to Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 299, Akadasi Vrata was a 2-day festival. And in this book I've got, which is wonderful to read on Akadasis, by the way, Dearest to Vishnu, translation of 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th Vilas of Hari Bhakti Vilas, shloka by shloka. Pretty good reading. And it states that previously, 400, 500 years ago in India, Akadasi was very, very popular because it didn't matter your background. It didn't matter your gotra, your social status, whatever. It didn't matter. Akadasi was an easy way to get liberation. You donated 2 days of your life, 2 days a week, to the Supreme Lord. And if you did, it didn't matter. You could have been a gunda, a rogue, or a prostitute. It didn't matter what your job was, what you did. If you did Akadasi, you were liberated. End of story. And because it easily awarded liberation, therefore it became very popular. Now, if you push it a little more, Padma Purana, Srishti Kanda, Tulsi Stava, the last shloka, caps it. 20th shloka says, Dvadashi Jagare Ratro, Yapatit Tulsi Stavam, Dvatvim Shada Paradam Shakshamyate Tasya Keshava. Lord Keshava will indemnify the seva aparadas, service offenses, 32 service offenses done knowingly or unknowingly by those who chant her glories and stay up at night on Dwadashi. The Tatastha Lakshana, I understood, was she doesn't sleep. She's there. You don't collect her leaves. Padma Purana says, you can only collect from sunrise to noon, not in the afternoon, not at night, not after breakfast, not in dirty cloth, not. When I read that, I was thinking, oh, office hours only, her office hours, not our office hours. What happens when you need Tulsi? You need Tulsi, then leaves that fall off her body naturally, dried sticks, you can use that. Or if Tulsi's not there, quoting from Vayu Purana, then you can invoke her by chanting her name. Invoke her presence by chanting her name. This way, you can have Tulsi at other times. But other than that, you collect her leaves and manjaris under her hours only. That's the idea. But Ashraya, oh, you can take shelter of her day and night. You specifically, if you want to chant underneath her chaya, her shade, you can do that anytime. You can do that anytime, day or night. Day or night. And I want to invite devotees about that because it is actually transformational. And it actually makes your sadhana, anything you do, it makes it, it magnifies it like amazing. I thought maybe 80%. I don't have the pramana for how much, but it's a lot. It's more than doing it without. And if there's any tension, anxiety, distraction, Rani will destroy all that. She'll completely destroy all that. It's wonderful. You get so many gifts from her service and association. Why not stay with her one more night? And if anybody did that, then Sri Krishna saw their sincerity and would indemnify. 32 aparadhas, knowingly or unknowingly done. Her service is that powerful. It forces Krishna to be merciful. It's astounding. It impels Krishna to be merciful to someone who takes shelter of her. That's how powerful Dvadashi Vrata is. So this shloka is very powerful about Bali Maharaj's glorifying Prahlad Maharaj and glorifying the power that he got from his grandfather. And the power of Prahlad Maharaj is mentioned in the seventh canto, that against all obstacles, obstacles simply brightened his bhakti, and he became even more determined to love the Lord. And the Lord became more captivated by his surrender and gave him so much association. Lord Nrisimhadev is so merciful. And indeed, we can also do the same for the younger generation if we try to give them this essence. The essence is that the children should see with their own eyes that when the going got rough, my parents got going. I saw with my own eyes my father and mother take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and chant their names and cross over the obstacles. I saw with my own eyes. That we have to do. This is called Krishnanandaya Dhimahi. The Guru Gayatri, one has to see the Krishnananda, the happiness of loving Krishna, and you should meditate on that. That's what you give to the dependent. That's what you actually have to give to the dependent. So that's what we can give to the next generation. They should see it with their own eyes. That when the going gets rough, and therefore, Haridas Thakur said that Nirantara Nam Lao, chant Krishna's name constantly, Kara Du, or Kara with hand, Tulasi Sevan. Serve her. And Acharet Pavitabhar Krishna Racharan. Very quickly you'll get Krishna's lotus feet. So we should give this opportunity. And in this way, people will say, wow, my grandfather, my grandmother really gave me something big to remember. Because they'll have to pass it down. Hare Krishna. Questions or comments? Yes, Mother.
You were talking, thank you for the class, Brother. You were talking about in different situations, the nectar, the bliss, the ecstasy of taking shelter of Tulsi Maharani or Krishna. And I was just wondering how it seems that there is some period of adjustment in our own psychology where, you know, maybe when things are new, you know, it's the common story when things are new in Krishna consciousness, you're ecstatic, and then your own conditioning kind of, you know, comes back to the fore because you get used to things. And sometimes, at least for myself, I feel like I've taken shelter, maybe in very small ways, of other things that may not be actually sinful, but they may explain, it may strike me in a way that I can understand. Like I might read a book that is not Krishna conscious, but it says, try thinking about things this way or try doing things that way. And I say, oh, that's like it says in the Bhagavad Gita. And I guess I was just wondering, how much of that can you do before you start drifting off in the direction of, you know, some other philosophy?
Before you get weird.
Yeah.
Sarva Shastra Guru Vakya Chitta Te Kariya Aikya Arana Kariya Mani Ash. Our business is that anything we get, we cross-reference it between Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra Vakya. If you can see, if it agrees, Narada Muni mentions in 7th Canto, Chapter 15, iti tat lakshanam proktam pungsad eva vibhanditam tatten eva vinir just said. You have to accept something for what it is. If you see those qualities somewhere else, you have to accept those qualities of a devotee, brahmana or a shudra or like that. You have to have the vision, the discrimination based on Shastra, whether something should be accepted or not. This is stated in 16th chapter, verse 24, the last verse. Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te Karya Akarya Vyavastiti. Our vyavastiti, our discrimination is based on Shastra Pramanam. Gatva Shastra Vidan Nukta Karma Kartami Aharasi. Once you've known what is stated in the Shastra, you deserve to act in that way. That's what the shloka says. So, if we're seeing something, any new age junk or whatever, any other karmic advice, some stupid website or God knows, you know, if you see, you know, there's plenty of weird things, right? Now, is it weird? All right, well, if I can see Guru and Sadhu with Shastra in it, then I can, you may cherry pick. But the criteria is Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And the criteria must be measurable. Within a short duration of time, it should give you some substantial results that you can apply to Krishna. Like, I'll give you an example. There was a conversation of Prabhupada with Harisari, and Prabhupada was talking about, there was some medicinal things. Prabhupada said, oh yes, I was a pharmacist, you know, liver oil extract is very good, it helps. And Harisari said, but Prabhupada, we can't take that. And he goes, well, if your life depended on it, if it was a difference between life and death, you could. But then again, Prabhupada, he said, there's other Vaishnavas that will just not compromise their principles no matter what. Yes, that Vaishnava is there. So Prabhupada was leaving the gate open. For those that are not so determined, all right, then, you know, if something is going to kill you, then you can do it. But look at his childhood. When he had some disease and the doctor said that you have to eat chicken soup or something, and his parents said, oh, we ain't going to give our kid that, forget it. You know? And Prabhupada survived. They thought, well, look, you know, I didn't think that the disease would continue then. Well, if the disease gets even more serious, then belatedly they might have offered it, I can't say. But let's just say that Prabhupada's father and mother didn't have to go that far. You know, like this. So, if your health and life depend on it, then maybe you could adopt something. To give you an example, another example of that is like garlic tablets. For specific infections, maybe you could accept it. But because it emanated from the blood of Rahu mixed with the nectar, it has some infection fighting properties. But because it's mixed with the blood of Rahu, it gives attraction to tamas. So therefore, it has to be taken on short-term basis only because it gives your mind attraction to tamasi vritti, like that. So whether something is good or bad, according to Kaladesha and Patra, we have to see it in terms of short-term results. Will it take care of my health so that I can serve Krishna more? Like, as an example, will it help my bhajan more? And if it doesn't, throw it short-term. That's the idea. Next thing is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra Vakya. Can I see Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra in it? And if you don't know, like what Prabhupada told Vidya in 76, when she asked Prabhupada the question, can we collect Kadosi Manjaris with scissors or use your fingers? Prabhupada's answer was, use your brains. And if you have none, ask others who do. And you have a big community here. And you have many girlfriends and many grihastha men friends. Ask them, you know, hey, I'm getting this intuition, I'm getting this idea, and I feel like this, I feel justified like this. Is this right? Am I on or off? You know, you can banter it about your friends. Why not? That's what friends are for. Pardon me? What if they're even weirder than you? I mean, is that what you're asking, Mom? I mean, suppose they're even more off the wall than me. You know? Is that what you're asking, Mom? No, what are you asking, Ma? Birds of a feather flock together. Do we want Hunzas or do we want crows? I mean, you have to discriminate. You follow me? You have a real person, a good person, listens to the arguments of the opposite. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he who flatters me is my enemy, and he who is my constructive critic is my best friend. So the point is that in order to give weight to the argument, let's see what the opposite side has to say. What is the opposite coin? What is the opposite argument? Let's give them a voice. You follow me? The idea is, so what? The idea is to step out of yourself and look in the mirror and ask, so what? You know? What for? You know, go ahead and challenge it. It gives you another paradigm, another way of looking at it. Go ahead and say, why? You know? It's good.
I'm not saying that I'm addicted to all these other kinds of philosophies. I'm just saying once in a while, but then I think, well, you know, am I going too far? But then the question comes back, how much faith do I have in the words of Prabhupada? How much faith do I have in the words of Shastra? How much faith do I have in the words of people who I know who are very solid? You know, because I think that this thing that I might have checked out for a little bit worked pretty well. And so, you know what I'm saying? And it's like,
yeah, is it artha or is it anartha? It's wonderful. It's a nice analogy, Mom. Is it artha or is it anartha? It's good. You're stepping out and look at it. Is this really artha? Is it benefit or anartha? You know, what is the nature of my shraddha anyway? This is called antarmukha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to this in Anyaya Sutra. Internally facing disciple. It's good. It's healthy. Yes. It's healthy to question. If I'm attached to this stuff, maybe it's because I don't have enough nectar. I don't have enough shraddha in my Gurudev. And I don't have enough shraddha in what he gave. And therefore my mind is attracted to go somewhere else. You know? Is it a valid argument? Is it something valid or not? It's good. Very healthy, yes. It's healthy to give voice. And therefore one should keep constructive critics as your best friends. You should have people you can banter things about, you know, by email. You know, you've got plenty of friends. You can banter it about. It's always good to have some devotional scholars, you know. Like, if you're not so shastrically inclined, find those who are, you know, and ask them, hey, I'm getting this tendency like this. What do you think about it? You know, and then your God brothers, your God sisters that are more on more solid foundation than yourself, then they'll help you. And this is called ashraya. These are what God brothers and God sisters are for. You know, they're supposed to help you in this. And they're wonderful. They're wonderful to have them, you know, distantly like that. Yeah, they're very helpful. They help you discriminate. Application. You're responsible for that. A person has to take responsibility for the consequences. And it's especially nice when you see all the different sides of an argument, because if you accept, well, I'll do it short term, and if it doesn't work, then you go, well, I got what I deserved for. I got what I paid for, right? I tried it out and now I'm suffering. So now it's time to go back to the other thing. You know, you follow my point? Jai Ma, thank you for that. Nice clarification. Hey, Adi, you had a question?
We do sort of routine worship of Tulsi Devi, you know. And we might have some Tulsi Devas at home, and some of them die. And we try to look after them, but you talk a lot about serving Tulsi Devi and associating with Tulsi Devi, so what exactly do you mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, additionally to what we are doing, what else do we do?
Sananda Kumar answered it very wonderfully. He was Rudrani's husband. He did that Tulsi Greenhouses in Vancouver. He told me over the phone, 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. If you're not prepared to work for her, you'll hardly know who she is. It means, it's the same thing. Suppose somebody doesn't have deities, right? And for Gornatai is just eating gods. You know, they eat whenever we ask them to eat, and that's my only relationship with them. If your relationship is not based on Chaitanya Bhagavat Katha, bhajans for Gauranga, you follow me, then Gauranga is simply relegated to an eating god. Like that. You follow my point? The devotee does not know who they are. They are eating gods. Or like Mayashatanam Naradardakena, for those who have taken shelter of the illusory energy, Krishna just is an ordinary boy. They just lose the vision to understand who they are. Maya covers them over. They just don't understand. In the same way, if you only offer lip service, if you only offer service from a distance, then that's all the darshan you're going to get. That's only the darshan you're going to get. Of this Navanga Tosi Bhakti, which is mentioned in Nectar Devotion, it is 1-204. Of all of that, it's all powerful. It's all powerful. Now, it's interesting, when I was looking at Vishwanath's commentary there, Banaswami gave it to me, that Ru, Robita comes from the word Dadvartha Ru, to grow. And he said, it is not that you have to plant her every day, but you have to make sure she's happy, that she's well, so that she will have new buds and new manjaris every day. That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says. It's very nice. So, it's a lot of work. But when she pulls you in, it's all part of her leela to pull you in. She just does it all the time. Sananda Kumar, when I called from London, there was some girl that had a problem with Tulsi. When I called Sananda Kumar to ask, he said, oh, it's Tulsi does it all the time. What do you mean? Oh, it's female psychology. They do it all the time. What is that? Then he explained it over the phone. He says, you know, when a young girl wants to attract a young boy, she does this drama. Oh, I'm very weak. I can't do it. You should do it for me. You know, like that. So Tulsi Rani, although she's Atmarama, she's fully satisfied and chaste in her service to Narayana. Because she's a female, she does the same thing to capture you, to purify you, and give you to Narayana. So everything, whether it's bugs, yellow leaves, any difficulty, it's her challenge that she's throwing at us, that you must do something. And when you step forward and do something, that's her plan. She just pulls you into her lotus feet, purifies you, gives you her husband, the whole thing turns to Vaikuntha. That's her strategy. She's just doing her strategy, that's all. It's wonderful. Sananda Kumar described it like that. Oh, she does it all the time. It's just the way she does it, you know. And when he described it, it was beautiful. And that's when I asked him, hey, tell me more. And that's when he said, 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. If they're not prepared to work for her, they'll hardly know who she is. And I thought, wow, that is wonderful. If I can find the Sanskrit to back that vijnana, that'll be amazing. You know, I want to find the Sanskrit to back that vijnana, but it's pretty good. If you're... Yeyata mam prapadyante? Yeah, but it's interesting is that I'm finding that whatever's valid for Krishna in Gita or Bhagavatam, you can pretty much transplant it to her. What is valid for Krishna is also valid for his spouse. You know? Valid for his spouse. And it makes sense. If Krishna's within the heart of everybody, his wife is not. You know, it must be valid to his spouse. You know, it's like interesting. Yeah, it's yeyata mam prapadyante tamsataiva bhajam. You'll find that shloka even in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 22, Sanatan Shiksha, in way in the Raga Marga section beyond shloka 140. That is true all the way up to the topmost levels of perfection. As you surrender, that's what you get back. All the way up even to there. It's the same thing with her. As you surrender to her, she rewards. But of course, the internal energy is very soft-hearted. Krishna is amazing. I was reading in the Hari Bhakta Shuddhadaya, the Yamadutas were saying, we don't know Narayan likes this plant. He's staying in a forest of Tulsi waiting for someone to walk by and give one single leaf. That much small, insignificant service. Just offer him one single leaf. He's waiting incognito in a garden of Tulsi for somebody to offer one single leaf. How compassionate, you know? The amazing thing about it is that in exchange for our insignificant levels of sadhana that any devotee may do, The Supreme Lord is serving us in the heart 24/7. In exchange for our insignificant sadhana. It's astounding. Who's serving who? Ultimately, the Supreme Lord serves his Vibhinamsha in exchange for whatever insignificant service that we're trained to do by the sadhu's direction. Amazing. Thanks, Adi. Huh? Are you happy, Adi Karta? Did I serve you? Did I serve your question, Prabhu? Joy. Pretty much? Hey, wait a minute. Pretty much means there's something still left for me to serve.
Well, I'd like to carry on, but I got to go. But, you know, in practical terms, I guess, you know, you say working for Tulsi, so that means just making sure she's...
It means follow Madhava. And you see what Madhava's done in his place? He's showing an example of how to work for her. In terms of household life in Alachua, he's a good example of how to work for her.
Yeah.
Go hang out a little bit with him and you'll understand a little bit more about what working for her means. Hey, wherever you go, keep the name on the tongue, you know? Everything else is stolen at the time of death. Keep the name on the tongue, you know? Thank you, Adi Karta. Thank you very much. Yeah, you go see Madhava, then you'll understand a lot more. Jai, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful Dwadasi, all the sadhus and sadhvis. Hare Krishna. Jai Bali Maharaj. Jai Bhagavatam. Not bad, an hour. Not bad, an hour. Jai Madan Mohan, thank you so much. You gave me how to get that thing for the Lord, and I did.